Hey, what's up, everybody? Juan Martinez, aka Dr. Love, and you've just joined us on This Is Real. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of This Is Real, show with real people, real problems, and real solutions. With yours truly, Pastor Juan, aka Dr. Love. Man, and I'm excited. We're going to dive into something that every believer talks about, but not every believer lives it out, right? And that word is worship. I think one of our episodes we had talked about spirit and truth, and today we're going to talk a little bit about worship. We're going to talk about music. Actually going to ask the guy if he's ever gotten high before. But now, I'm not just talking about music when I say worship. I'm talking, and not just Sunday, not just lights, not just hands raised. I'm talking about a life posture of worship, because real worship really starts when the music stops. For some of us, worship is an event, a song list, a vibe. But when Jesus talks about worship, it's a heart that's surrendered. I believe Romans 12:1 says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So not your vocals, not your playlist, not your life. It's actually your life. I was going to say not your life, but it's actually your life. Let me ask you a question. When nobody's watching, and it's just you and God, are you worshiping? Are you a true worshiper? Are you giving him your time, your thoughts, your obedience, your yes, even when it costs you something? Worship isn't about how we sound. It's about who we bow to. It's never about performance. It's always presence. I like to say it's not hype, it's honor. So today we're going to get into the heart of worship, the kind that breaks chains, shifts atmospheres, and draws heaven into earth. The kind of worship that's not just sung, but lived. So the question is, are you ready? So listen, let me tell you something. When I think about worship and I think about atmosphere shifter, I think about you. Welcome my guest today, Deron. What's going on, man?
What's up, Pastor Juan?
Dude, I'm excited that you're on the show. This is a long time coming.
I know. This is like we had the one, but that was like years ago.
That was years ago.
Yeah. It's good to be back for the first time.
Hey, you're in the new studio and everything with the red mics.
Yeah,
come on.
This is fire. I might want to borrow this for a little promo video I'm trying to do.
You let me know. All yours.
Okay.
I see what you did there too. You asked me like while we're on the show. Right?
That's how you do it.
Hey,
good.
This
is real.
It hit me. I was like, ooh, I see what he did there. Yeah. There was like, there ain't no turning back. That's it. It's on the show. Rewind. And you can't be like no, because everybody be like, wow.
Yeah, wow. Right? Now I'm like, Pastor,
wow.
You gonna help him?
You gonna help him? What? So man, how long you been doing worship and stuff?
Man, I've been doing it since I was 16.
16
years old.
So okay, 16, boom. So okay, family, I'm thinking in Christ and everything since the time you were born.
Mm-hmm. Born under a pew, as they say, for preacher's kids. So my parents are pastors. Shout out to Bishop Winfred and Algene Garrett.
Hey, so is it true what they say about pastor's kids? Like y'all the worst?
Slightly. I mean, it's not so much for me, but in the grand scheme of things, some of us, yes, not all of us.
So you wasn't out there like. Were you like puffing and worshiping? Were you like, you know, because you hear all kinds of stories. I just want, you know, not stereotyping nothing, but you know, most of the time they'd be like, all right, he was out there ice cubing, smoking weed because he was a pastor's kid and being wide open, and then jumping on Sunday mornings and I give myself away.
No. I wasn't.
Definitely not that. No. You ever smoke?
No.
You ain't never smoke?
No.
Ever?
No, never
drunk.
Smoked. Drunk a little bit. I kind of slowed down a little bit. You know, I was a casual.
Sipper. Casual.
Eat steak, you know, get a little red wine, you know, classic stuff. One pinky up,
yeah.
A little
sip
here and there.
But nothing where you were wilding out.
Nothing.
That's kind of what
I'm
getting to. You weren't wilding out.
If I felt myself going there, I would stop.
So you're in high school, 16.
16.
You're not tripping.
No.
I guess the question is, how did you avoid all that? right? Because that's as much of a testimony as the person that was getting high, right? Mm-hmm. And usually, a lot of folks that I have on this is real. They've all gotten high.
Oh yeah.
You know, I think April even got high one time. But you know, hey, enough about that.
Sorry, April. I don't know why you caught that
straight. Listen, but you know, she says one time, we think two. But
that's,
you know,
funny.
Nobody really knows. So with you, how did you avoid all that in high school?
Well, I mean, my parents, although they are pastors, they were real. They just pretty much broke it down to me and my brother, you know, just said, you know, you ain't really missing nothing. So I think once they took the curiosity out of it and just exposed the real of it, it kind of detoured us from really wanting to get involved. Because, I mean, you know, my dad and mom, well, I ain't gonna say their business. That's their time to come and tell their testimony. Yeah. But, you know, they did their thing.
Yeah.
You know, but it just, once they explained it and kind of
broke it down.
Yeah, it was, I was like, okay, well, there's no
makes
need
sense.
For that.
That makes sense.
You know.
That's dope. So then, because I want to understand this. So at 16, you begin worship. You begin singing and stuff.
I sang in the choir, and then it went from the choir to praise team, and then it went from leading one song to two, went from two to three to the whole set.
Okay, did you start off the way I know you now, or like were you a little more calm, or were you wide
open? I was super shy. So,
really?
Yeah, I was terribly shy. Like, my parents didn't know I could sing till I was like 13.
Really?
Yeah.
And then they were excited. They were like,
bet. I remember my brother knew I could sing. And then it's like I kind of discovered I could at a young age. And then it was like one of those like hidden talents.
Sure.
And then it just kind of grew from there.
Yeah. And so I want to ask you something. So were you, and I know you're going to understand this question, were you a worshiper then, or were you just a singer? When did you understand the difference? And is there a difference?
There is a difference. There's definitely a difference.
What's the difference? Because there's probably a lot of folks now, because it's like, I feel like we're in this what, at least what I see, when it comes to like preaching and worshiping, right? It's almost become like, oh, I'm going to do that as a career. Mm-hmm. And so, not saying everybody does it that way. Some people have the posture of worship and then God just does what he does with them and then they wind up in good places. But right. The opposite is also true and mm-hmm. very prevalent. Mm-hmm. Like there's a lot of folks that are like, oh yeah, I want to do that. But it's more like from this, I want to be successful,
mm-hmm.
right? So mm-hmm. for you, what's the difference? What are you saying is the difference?
The difference is heart posture.
Okay.
So, I mean, I believe that God hears it all, but the response of it comes from the relationship connection. Like everybody can call your name, but you know the difference between when your son calls your name and then when someone else calls it. Ooh, that was deep. You know the difference between when your children call your name.
That's
you
good.
Know the response. You it's like it's almost like you respond with your heart.
Yeah.
They be like, Dad, you know, blah blah blah. And it's like out of nowhere, like a bunch of people could be talking to you. But when you hear your children call your name or speak to you, immediately everything stops and your attention goes to them. So it's the same way. I feel like, you know, there are people who have an honor for God and they have a love for God and they do what they do out of that love. But there's a difference between singers and sons. So that's the difference.
That's fire.
Yeah, is you know, a singer sound good, can get the crowd moving, but a son moves heaven. Because a son sounds like the father.
That's where the anointing is.
That's where the anointing is. The anointing is in the connection. It's not in the
gift.
The gift.
Right?
Mm-hmm. You know, because everybody's gifted. You know, you got psychics are just off prophets. You know, mm-hmm. but the gift is there, but it's just misdirected. If they repent, get their life together, get connected to the Father, then that gift does what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
Same thing. You got people, R&B singers that are literally anointed.
Yeah.
But just where they are. And in certain cases, you know, the Lord may have them there. And depending on how grounded they are, redirect people back to the Father.
Yeah. Yeah, because God could use a rock, right? God could use anything. So you can use anything. Mm-hmm. I just not beneficial for the person who is a worshiper, right? Who's like not a worshiper, but is claiming worshiper, mm-hmm. right? Because we had an episode where we're talking to Dr. Andrew Heard, mm-hmm. and we were talking about spirit and truth and how important they equally both are. But it says worshipers. So, you know, you can't even be a worshiper without spirit and truth. Mm-hmm. And I love everything you're saying because I think, you know, a lot of times because people don't have a gospel-centered life or don't have that relationship, because sons can tell sons mm-hmm. and daughters, right? Like because of fruit and everything, right? Mm-hmm. But there's this if, you know, oh, I remember I was in this place. I don't know, it was wild. And, you know, these people were really gifted, but everybody was like, oh, that was so anointed. But let's say this worship team was like doing cocaine, and like they really were. They were like partying. Oh, Jesus. And so we confused the gifting, right? Because I always think of that, depart from me, I never knew you. Mm-hmm. And I think like, man, like that dude didn't suck. Like he wasn't like, you know, the prophet guy, he was prophesying. The guy, any person that was doing what they were doing, they couldn't suck because everybody would have been like exposed.
Yeah.
Right? So they had to be really good at what they were doing.
Exactly.
So good that they convinced themselves they had a relationship with God, right? Because when mm-hmm. they get up there, when he's like, depart from me, it seems to me when I read that they rolled up like, I'm ready.
Yeah. Like, okay, where my house at?
Yeah.
What room I'm staying in?
Yes.
Yeah,
so what do you think in today's culture when you think about worship? Where do you think we're at? What's the temperature of worship right now?
It's, in certain cases, it's like it's two sides of it. Like on one side, it's beautiful, you know, the expression of worship, the radicalness, if I can make that a word, the radicalness of it, the, you know, the hunger that people have for it, the desire to experience a real encounter with God, you know, those things are there. But then on the other side of it, there is a Luciferian, if not careful, type of presence that it's like, and the crazy thing about it, we tend to forget, like, that's what he did. You know what I'm saying? Lucifer was that guy. He was the worship leader. He was the first one.
Yeah.
So because of that, he knows it's, in certain ways, he knows more than we do.
Yeah.
So, and I feel like, he attacks it when he realizes that we know what he knows.
Yeah.
And it's, yeah. So when it comes to that side of it, it's like, you have to be really careful because that celebrity, that wanting to grow your ministry, that, you know, this is, you know, when you go into a situation and it's about that person and not about that person that, you know, that they live for and sing to.
Yeah.
Like that's the fine line. And it's like, it can get very scary because, you know, it can feel like God, it can sound like God, but it's a counterfeit.
Yeah. So how did you, cause you said you didn't start off that way. So when did it happen for you where you realized, man, I'm just singing? What did you have an encounter with God? Like what happened to you that you were like, did it just happen, or was there a moment where you were like, you just had this epiphany or you got conviction to say like, man, I need to posture my heart a certain way?
I think as I was growing up, because the one thing that really shifted it for me was starting out like the first time I heard Israel's Live from Another Level. Mm-hmm. Like I remember... the first time I heard Lord You Are Good, it just hit me and I just couldn't let it go. I literally listened to that album, well back then CDs, listened to that CD until it's
showing
scratched.
Your age, baby.
I listened to that CD till it skipped, and I watched the DVD till it couldn't play anymore. Like the ins and outs of that, like that is where it shifted for me. But where it really got me was this moment that I won't say exactly where, but it was a well-known young adult hangout worship space. So I was there was a guy singing, and I don't know, it would frustrate me because this guy's like, he would just come up like he was okay.
Yeah.
He would just come up and sing this song and everybody would just go crazy. And but literally that was the only song he would do. And I sat there, I was like, Lord, like, why am I not up there? You Ooh. Know, why am I not up there? Why can't I, you know, I can sing. And I'll be transparent. I was like, I could sing better than him.
Oh,
like I could do this, I could do that. Like, this is, you know, I literally, like, God is not fair. And God, as the Father he is, whispered to me, he said, you can chase the stage and the lights, and you'll get it, but you won't have me. And in that moment, like, every time I say that, it's like I get choked up because I realized in that moment why I do this and who it's really for. Now, I could have taken that and been like, you know, like how Satan did Eve in the garden. Yeah, he didn't like, you it. Ain't going to really die. He ain't going to really not be with you.
Yeah, I could have taken be with that. You, he'll never leave.
He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But and I could have taken that choice and my life probably would have been different.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is that when I said yes to walking away from that desire, it's like that's when my relationship with God and worship really started to grow.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, because he's used in platforms everywhere. Let me ask you a question. You know, because obviously, so you're worshiping, you're doing all this stuff. Now you're in a pretty big platform, you know, because, you know, I'll be watching y'all sometimes, you know, and Inspire. And I go, man, they look at DeRon, you know, doing this thing. He's wide open over there. And so just seeing you, I know we're going to talk here a little bit about 23andMe, your album coming out. And have you been through stuff in your life where, because, you know, this worship of surrendering, right? Because, you know, having to get up and pretty much be a worshiper and use your gift for singing and really lead others to posture their heart. I know that there's been some things in your life that you kind of went through. Were you married and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, are you still married?
No, I am not.
Okay.
No longer.
No longer.
And it's okay. I had to learn that, that, and I think the beautiful part in that was me, you know, cause it's easy when people go through that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of, well, what they did and what this did and this did and this.
They start blaming each other.
You know? And to me, I didn't want to do that. I was like, yeah, there were things that happened, you know, that contributed from both ends.
Yep.
But I started to look more at myself.
Yeah.
And kind of walking through that, it was painful. It was a lot of hurt, a lot of grief in a sense. And I had to lead worship in the middle of that. So it's crazy, but you know, having to sing healing and joy over people when you're walking through, I think, one of the toughest seasons that a person could go through.
Yeah.
And then, you know, because the church doesn't really talk about that. The church doesn't really deal with that. They kind of treat people who go through divorce like lepers. Because, you know, the ultimate goal in church is, you know, you meet somebody, you get married, you have children, fruitful and multiply. But what about the ones where that doesn't necessarily happen?
Come on, talk about it.
You know, because I feel like it's kind of like, they'd be like, oh, you know, and I'm pretty sure she's gone through this.
Yeah.
You know, where they come up, oh, you know, how's so-and-so? How's your wife? How's your husband? You have to be like, I hope she's okay. And then the look of horror and awkward and disdain in people's face, and they'd be like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know. And it's just like, I'd be like, Lord, having to go. At first, when that would happen to me, it would be like a stab in my heart. And I'd be like, bro, really? And then it just seems like they would kind of, like, they would speak, but then after that, they wouldn't speak anymore.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, okay, go over there. You know, instead of really being like, well, how are you? Are you okay? How's your heart? How this, that, and other? So, you know, it can be kind of difficult. And I feel like as a church, we should do better with that as far as like, dealing with those who walk through that instead of treating them like lepers, like push them to healing. They need healing too. Or, you know, we need healing too, because, you deal with the guilt of it not working. You deal with the shame of it not working. You have to constantly hear people throw scripture that they don't really know the depths of it. You know, God hates divorce. Yeah. You know, but I'm like, you know, and I feel like he
especially
hates,
when you're down, right?
Yeah, it's just like, oh, okay, well, now God hates me now, too.
Yeah. Now, right, hey, then, hey, but sing.
You know, but, but anyway, I love how you worship, you know, that even though God hates you, you know. You're doing a good job, brother.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, it was just a process I had to walk through. And, you know, I had to learn to forgive me. In the process, forgive my mistakes and understand that I'm not in exile.
Yeah.
That I'm not away from God, that I'm not, you know, this person. I'm not a leper in the church. Like I can still function and be whole and walk through healing as I'm supposed to. And yeah. And it's just like it was a beautiful thing. It wasn't the easiest. You know, I still have moments of, you know, grief. I still have moments of, but you know, in those moments, I just give it to the Lord.
You worship.
I worship.
In those moments,
it.
You worship. Yeah, you posture your heart
posture
to receive
heart to
what
receive
the word says. Yes.
What the word says. And then another thing is what I will encourage those that go through divorce. Pray for your former spouse. Lift them up to God, to the throne of grace. And that way, whatever, because, you know, people don't really understand the situations that happen in sure. that. Because sometimes it can be like very like harsh.
Sure.
But I think to heal, a part of the healing process is not only forgiving yourself, forgiving that individual, forgiving what happened, forgiving what you went through, and just moving forward
and
not being bitter, you know. And
because at that point it seems like your enemy,
yeah,
but it's really not your enemy,
really not.
And when you look at Ephesians, it said our fight is not against flesh. It's all these verses. Mm-hmm. You know, I have this, no shameful plug, but I got this book coming out that's crazy. You know, that's
love
God
it.
Right? And in that, everybody wants that's crazy, but nobody wants to that's God. And the premise is that, you know, like what you're talking about is what God would do. Mm-hmm. Like pray for your ex-spouse. Like that's something God would say. Mm-hmm. Like pray for them. And in that, there's something kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
There's a healing in that. There's something there. But it's the thing we avoid.
Yeah.
Right? Like we do the opposite. Yeah. You know, we just want to blast them. You know,
I would never disrespect her like that. Never. Yeah.
Let me ask you a quick question and we'll jump into the other stuff. But what would you say to yourself what would you say to the person right before you got married? What would you say to yourself? Would you give yourself advice?
I would.
Because, you know, hindsight 2020, right? Usually when we're on this side, we're like, maybe I should have.
Yeah. And then at the same time, it's like I should have. But then at the same time, it's like, what would that have changed anything?
I don't know. What would you say to yourself?
What would I have said to myself?
Maybe in the dating stage or before dating?
Especially in the dating stage. Oh, I'll say this. I'll say what I say to myself now in the sense of back then, of that experience. Like, just take it slow. You know, learn the ins and outs of that individual. Learn yourself first.
Yeah.
Love yourself first. Heal. Get rid of whatever vices or things that you have. Even if it's not so much get rid of it, have a good sense of control over it to where you know where you are with it. Be honest, be transparent.
Yes.
You know, don't be afraid to be honest and transparent. I think I was afraid to be honest and transparent.
Yeah.
And then and sometimes now. So it's like even talking about it now, I'm just like, but I realized that, you know, it was a part of my life. You know, I don't have any hard feelings. I don't harbor anything. I pray she doesn't. And it's just moving on.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And love and respect.
That's awesome.
Like I say, I will never, ever, ever disrespect. I feel like that's corny to do that. Like, yeah. I see people throwing, what they call it, divorce parties and stuff like that.
I feel like that's
a huge slap in God's face to that person.
Especially because you're brothers and sisters in Christ regardless.
Right.
Right? So, I agree 150% with you. I always tell people, you know, there was a season where everybody was preaching, what were they preaching? Everybody was preaching baggage. You remember, like, there was this is years ago, but everybody was like, baggage, you know, you bring in your baggage into your, and I had this epiphany one day, right? Where I actually do this with couples now before they get married, right? But I'm like, I always think, if we know that, why not empty the baggage before, mm-hmm. right? Because at least you could say, yo, like, I have anger issues. Mm-hmm. And then that person could decide, ooh, I want to be here or not. Mm-hmm. Are you working on it? Are you not working on it? Right? Rather than just like, because everybody, totally. Yeah. Or you find out while already in, and it just makes it a lot harder. So I love what you were saying about taking it slow. Could it have changed it? Who knows? But at least you know you did everything you could. And every single one of these always teaches you, you know, gives you wisdom. Mm-hmm. It should give you, like, okay, if you get another relationship, you really want to make sure that maybe taking it slow is a good thing, you know? And so that's why I ask, because, you know, a lot of times people are, they roll in relationships. Mm-hmm. Your advice right now is going to save thousands of people. Yeah. Because the reality is that, you know, you got, I think about 12 million people even incarcerated that watch the show. Mm. And, you know, usually, boom, get out, find a girl, boom, let's go. We're going to be happy. I'm like, no.
Deal with you first. Marry you first.
Oh, yeah.
Marry you first.
Yeah.
Know how you want to be in a marriage first. Mm. And then go from there.
Because we're going to have to bring you back for a whole seminar. Let's talk about, as we're getting close to our closing time, 23 in me.
Man.
What's that?
23andMe is an album, I'll say. You know, for some people, they might consider it an EP.
Yeah.
But it's six songs. It's based out of Psalms 23.
Okay.
So each verse is a song.
Each verse on Psalms 23 is a song.
Each verse is a song. So the titles, the My Shepherd, verse 1, Still Waters, verse 2. You Restore, verse 3.
That's fire.
I think the valley is verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. That's verse 4. The table, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies is number 5. And then the last song is Dwell Forever.
That's
and fire. And surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
When's that dropping?
Oof. As soon as I get it mixed and mastered. But that's the process. But the
what's the feel?
Ooh, is like, I'll say this: the feel is it's a feel good record.
Okay.
To me, I feel like this is, and shout out to my brother A-Ro, who produced. Like, both of us, we challenged each other. Like, I feel like I wrote from a different place. And I know that he produced from a different place. Nice. And what came out of it was such a beautiful thing.
What's the two? Obviously the whole album. But, you know, there's always like, you know, that's my jam. Yeah. Like, when you, what would you say, you know, because obviously you on iTunes and all that, you start seeing where people, the little star, uh-huh. all the ones are like, what do you think the two, if you could give me two, because I know you're going to say they're all great, because I see the way you worship. I know who you are. Uh-huh. You know, I want to see your versatility. That I'm not sure, because I'm like, is he going to go? Is he going to go? You know, you know what I mean? What's he going to do? Is he going to be more like a Torrin Wells? I mean, you see all kinds of people. You know, like the flow, the feel of it. I guess is what I'm saying, right? What's the top two songs?
Ooh, top two. Oh my
God. And why?
The Valley. Because it's real, it's very theatric, and it's just like when it hits you, you just like, I like to watch the people's reaction when I play it for them. I was like, okay, or I tell them, okay, which one you want to hear first? And it's like, I think I want to hear the Valley, and then they hear the Valley, and then when that chorus drops, they just like, oh my God!
So they're gonna be jamming to that.
That'll be a jam.
The Valley.
The table. The table's very laid back, chill, in the pocket, very groovy.
I guess that's what I was asking earlier. Uh-huh. Yeah, groovy.
It's groovy. Like I got it's different flavors. Like I got an 80s pop feel, and you know, and then I have I had to take it to like a deep worship for Steel Waters, and then I got like Kanye kind of 808 heartbreak type vibe.
Okay,
For the last that Dwell Forever is like one of my favorites. That's one of my personal.
Your favorites. Personal favorite.
One of my personal.
But we
got to
look out for the Valley. You gotta the look table. Out the Valley. But the now, table. Now you're naming a couple more. That makes me excited.
I ain't gonna lie. I'm not gonna lie, Pastor Juan. I'm not gassing. I ain't doing none of it. I feel like this is like one of the best things that I have done thus far. Like, you are going to enjoy it.
You have a listening party.
Yes.
Listening party. Because for those that are like, really? Here in Houston?
Yeah.
Okay. And when's that?
That is August 8th. That is a Friday. It's going to be at Ecclesia.
Okay.
/ Paper Co. Because they have a coffee shop. Really dope coffee shop there. So the venue is dope. They have a dope sanctuary. Yeah. It's like very artsy. Like sliding walls. And, you know, you'll see it if you come, or when you come, I'll speak that.
Yeah, yeah.
So It's we'll have it there August 8th. I have my band, my friends, like, man, the rehearsals alone have been fire.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be a good time. I'm having merch, exclusive merch for that night. Doors open 6:30, start at 7. It's going to be a good time.
So you want them to come out?
I want you to come out. You need it's to gonna be there.
They could be able to. Let's say they can't show up. You're not sure when it's dropping yet, though. But be on the lookout.
Be on the lookout. I want to try to push it for September.
Yeah.
Before holiday season.
Because you know how, like, I like, who was these guys? I forgot the name of them now. Sons of Sunday, you know?
Sons of Sunday, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
You see how they... like they had everything there, even though the songs weren't dropped yet. Mm-hmm. Maybe you could do that, so everybody could start pre-ordering.
Oh them. Yeah,
before it even drops.
Yeah,
and then when it drops, everybody will know because it's already on their iTunes mm-hmm. list.
I should do that.
There
I'm
you go.
Write that down.
Hey, listen, I think it's a good thing, right? Because I saw that for them even before a song dropped, they were just all the names were on there.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of got to have it, and then when it came out, it just sent mm-hmm. me a thing. Y'all heard it, man. Y'all heard it. 23 and me. 23 Listen, Daron, thank you so much for opening up, sharing a little bit about worship, a little bit about your life.
Yeah,
I think there was some nuggets in there. And thank you for all you do for the kingdom, man. I truly enjoy when you even come to get wrapped and, you know, you're worshiping. You know, I just thought, like, you know, you got something.
It's the time,
something.
Man.
So I'm excited. To see what God is going to do in your life. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this thing goes global.
I pray so.
Yeah,
God
man.
Be the glory.
Hey, if they jamming like that,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Look at April. She's like, oh.
Yeah.
She's like, come on, everybody like a jam.
It's going to be good.
Are you going to do videos for this?
Yes. Yes. I'm definitely. I have to do a visual for the Valley. I have to.
Yeah?
I have to.
Let me know, man. I like that stuff.
Uh-huh.
I want to see if you do a video. I like that stuff.
Okay.
I got my creativeness, you know,
all
my
right.
brain. Let me know.
Let's do it.
You directing. I'm directing. See the way I threw myself as a director?
See, he threw the mic.
Hey, you taught me.
Okay.
Hey, you taught me. You taught me, man.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, man.
Come on.
You heard it, man.
Debut.
23 and Me, Daron, album coming soon. You don't want to miss it if you're in the Houston area or if you're by Houston, August 8th. Where could they find you? Where could they find all the information in case, like?
You can find, it's on the Eventbrite. It'll say 23andMe.
23andMe.
At Paper Co.
Where do they find you?
They find me on social media. It'll say Daron the Garrett, DaronTheGarrett. And that's for TikTok and Instagram. On Facebook, it's just my name, Daron Garrett.
TikTok. That's where everybody at. That's what they're saying. Yeah. And so thank you so much for tuning in to another episode. Thank you to all the real ones who support, who subscribe, who share with your friends. Don't forget. We'll be back next week with another episode of This Is Real. Peace.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much to all the real ones for joining us every single week. You can be a part of the crew by following us on all our social media outlets. Also, you can write us at P.O. Box 671-626, Houston, Texas 77267. And don't forget, stay real.